All right, let's dive into a real estate case that I think you'll find pretty interesting. It all boils down to, well, imagine losing a massive land deal. Like we're talking 960 acres, almost 1,000. And it all comes down to a missing 10 bucks, just $10. Crazy, right? It happened though back in 1977, a Kansas Supreme Court case, Berryman v. Camatch. And that's where we're headed today, into the nitty-gritty of contract law, to see how such a tiny detail blew up into a full-blown legal showdown.
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there. Berryman v. Camatch, it really drives home the point that sometimes what seems like a simple option isn't so simple after all. So we've got our players. Wade Berryman, he's the landowner, and then there's Norbert Camatch, he's the real estate broker. They get locked into this contract battle, this back and forth over this huge chunk of Kansas land.
Okay, so the contract gave Camatch 120 days to buy the property. But here's the kicker. The document, it says $10 and other valuable consideration. But get this, the 10 bucks never actually changed hands. It's like a ghost payment, mentioned but never seen. And that little detail, or the lack of it, that becomes the whole battleground.
Exactly right. And the court, they ended up siding with Berryman. To really grasp why, we need to break down some legal stuff. Three big ideas: consideration, promissory estoppel, and then revocation. These are like the cornerstones of contract law. In this case, oh, it shows how they can make or break a deal big time.
So let's start with consideration. In lawyer speak, what's that all about? And why did it matter so much here?
Think of consideration as the engine of a contract, right? It's the exchange of something with value that makes the promises, like legally binding, you know. I give you something, you give me something back, quid pro quo. It doesn't have to be a ton of money. Even a single dollar can work. But here's the thing. In Berryman v. Camatch, that tiny $10 payment, poof, gone, never happened, meaning no consideration. So the court basically said, well, there's no real contract if that's missing.
So even though they wrote it all out, both sides initially said, yeah, we're in. That missing payment made the whole thing unenforceable, just like that.
You got it. It highlights how a contract isn't just about wanting something or intending to do it. You got to have that exchange, something tangible. It's not that Berryman v. Camatch rewrote the rules on consideration, but it sure did shout from the rooftops how crucial it is, especially for option contracts.
Makes you realize how important the fine print is. You wouldn't think 10 bucks would matter when you're talking about land that big. But the court, they thought differently.
Totally. And it's not even just about the money itself. You know, the court zeroing in on that missing 10 bucks, it shows they were super focused on all the formalities. Like they were saying, listen up, you can't just say there's consideration, you got to prove it actually happened.
Okay, so consideration out the window. But Camatch, he wasn't giving up that easy. He argued that Berryman shouldn't be able to just back out. Why? Because Camatch had already put in work trying to find people who might buy the land. So this is where promissory estoppel comes in.
Yeah, he was trying to use that as a backup plan, a safety net. It's this legal idea that sometimes a promise can be enforced even if there's not a super formal contract. But, and this is a big but, only in very specific situations, you got to show that you relied on someone's promise and that it hurt you to do so. And the person making that promise, they should have known you were going to rely on it.
So let's say Camatch could prove he'd done stuff, real actions, based on Berryman's promise, and those actions cost him something. He might still have had a chance.
Possibly, yeah. But the court, they weren't buying it. This was an option contract. Those usually don't require the buyer to go all out marketing the property right away. So the court's view was Berryman wouldn't have thought Camatch would be out there hustling to find buyers at that point.
So Camatch trying hard, it showed he was serious. But the court said that wasn't enough to call it a detriment in this specific case. What about the fact that he didn't actually lose money, just the chance to make some?
Right, the court made a big deal about that. A potential loss and an actual loss, not the same thing, they said. Missing out on a profit isn't the same as taking a direct financial hit.
And then, to make matters worse, just a month into this whole mess, Berryman up and sells the land to somebody else. Talk about adding insult to injury. What'd the court say about that?
That's where revocation enters the scene. When Berryman sold that land, it was a big flashing sign that he was pulling his offer to Camatch. Legally speaking, you can revoke an offer anytime before it's accepted, as long as the other person knows you're revoking it somehow.
So even if there had been that $10 handshake, that sale to a third party, that probably would have ended things for Camatch anyway.
Most likely, yep. Selling it was like an unspoken revocation. Once Camatch knew about the sale, game over. You can't accept an offer that's already gone.
This whole case, it's like a legal thriller set in Kansas farmland. So many twists and turns, and the stakes are sky high.
And we're just getting started. There's a lot more to unpack, especially when it comes to the finer points of promissory estoppel and how that concept of detriment, well, it can make or break a case.
Okay, so we know consideration, it's vital. Even a tiny amount can be a game changer. But let's play what if for a sec. Let's say Kamuk had paid that 10 bucks. Would that have flipped the script? Change the whole outcome?
Oh, absolutely. It's like night and day, legally speaking. With that payment, with consideration there, Berryman would have a way tougher time trying to wiggle out of the deal.
So even a little oversight can have massive consequences in contract law, huh? But what about all that work Komoj did to find potential buyers? If he'd paid the 10 bucks, would that have made the court look at his efforts differently?
That's where things get really interesting. If we assume consideration was there, the court might have been more open to Komuk's whole promissory estoppel argument. Remember, that's all about fairness, making sure someone doesn't back out of a promise when the other side relied on it and got hurt because of that reliance.
But initially, the court didn't buy that Komuk's actions were really a detriment. Would that have changed with the $10 in play?
Hard to say for sure, but it's possible. Having that consideration there might have changed how they saw things. They might have thought, well, there was a real option contract. Berryman should have expected Komuk to start doing something to hold up his end of the bargain.
So even though the option contract didn't specifically tell Komuk to go find buyers, the fact that he did, plus the 10 bucks, that might have been enough to show detrimental reliance.
Exactly. It's like saying, hey, I'm not just sitting around. I'm trying to make this happen. And that effort, with a solid contract behind it, that could be seen as putting him in a bad spot when Berryman pulled the rug out.
This really shows how tricky promissory estoppel is. It's not a simple yes or no rule. It's something courts decide case by case, looking at all the details.
You got it. And Berryman v. Kamuk, agree with it or not, it gives us a glimpse into how judges wrestle with these tough legal ideas.
Speaking of tricky stuff, the case also shows how important it is to clearly communicate when you're revoking an offer. Berryman selling the land, that got the point across, but was it enough legally?
Yeah, that was definitely an act of revocation, no doubt. But the best way, always the safest, is a direct no-nonsense notice. Remember, contracts are all about clear communication. Selling the land, it implies revocation. But a direct notice, that shuts down any confusion and protects everyone involved.
So imagine Berryman sends Kamuk a letter, official-like, saying, I'm revoking the offer. Land sold to someone else.
Way cleaner, right? Absolutely. No room for misunderstanding. A clear record of what happened. With contracts, clarity is key.
So we've got consideration, promissory estoppel, revocation, all tangled up in this one case. It's like a reminder that contract law, it's not just about rules in a textbook. It's about real life stuff, how people interact, that balance between what we're entitled to and what we're obligated to do.
And sometimes, yeah, it comes down to a missing 10 bucks that can tip the scales. There's another layer to this case, though, something we haven't really touched on yet. It's about the difference between motive and consideration. A lot of people get this confused, even folks who know a bit about contracts.
That's a good point. How did Berryman v. Kamuk show that difference?
Well, it proved that just wanting to make a contract, having that intention, it's not the same as consideration. Berryman might have been totally gung-ho to sell to Kamuk at first, but that alone didn't make a legal agreement.
So someone could be super eager to sell their house, but that eagerness isn't a contract by itself. They need that exchange, something of value changing hands, like the buyer giving money, the seller giving the deed.
Spot on. That's exactly what was missing in Berryman v. Kamuk. Berryman's motivation, however strong, it couldn't replace that concrete element of consideration. Actions matter more than words, especially in contract law.
Okay, so we've covered consideration, promissory estoppel, revocation, and now motive versus consideration. Seems like this case is a goldmine of lessons about contracts. Anything else you'd highlight, especially for those lawyers and law students listening in?
Berryman v. Kamuk, it's a clinic on how contracts are formed and how they're enforced. It reinforces the idea that a contract isn't just some casual thing you say, it's a serious document with specific requirements.
So whether you're writing one, checking one over, or advising a client, this case reminds us to dot our I's and cross our T's. Every detail matters.
Absolutely, and it shows how crucial it is to understand the big ideas behind contract law. That way you can spot potential problems, write clear agreements, and protect your clients' interests.
This deep dive into Berryman v. Kamuk, super insightful. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you said earlier about promissory estoppel and detriment. What exactly are courts looking for when they're trying to decide if someone relied on a promise and got hurt because of it?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's where things get, well, a little more complicated. You see, the court, they set a pretty high bar for what counts as detriment. Like, in Kamoja's case, just missing out on a possible profit, that wasn't enough for them.
So it's got to be more than just a missed opportunity, right? They're looking for something more solid, something really concrete.
Right. They want proof that the person relying on the promise, that they were actually harmed, not just, you know, disappointed about a chance that slipped away. Think of it like this. If Kamak had spent his own money, like on brochures or ads or hired surveyors, all because he believed that option was a done deal, that would have made his case a lot stronger.
So things that have a real financial impact because he was counting on that promise. Makes sense.
Exactly. It has to be a clear loss directly because of the broken promise. The court needs to see that you changed your situation based on that promise, and that change made things worse for you when the promise went kaput.
Sounds like promissory estoppel. It's a strong argument, but it's not a slam dunk. You really got to check all those boxes to make it work.
You nailed it. It's not some magic trick to fix any contract problem. Promissory estoppel, it's a subtle thing. Courts use it carefully. It's about being fair, making sure promises are kept when they were made in good faith. But it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for a bad contract.
So, big takeaway here. Berryman v. Kamak, it's a case everyone who deals with contracts could know about.
Couldn't agree more. It's a wake-up call. Even something small, like that $10 payment, can make all the difference. And it shows why it's so important to understand those core legal ideas consideration, promissory estoppel, revocation. That knowledge can protect you in any contract situation.
So for everyone listening, buying land, selling it, working at a business deal, even just making an agreement with someone, remember, the details matter. Yeah. Get it in writing, make sure something of value is exchanged, and be clear in your communication. That'll save you from headaches later on.
Excellent advice. Berryman v. Kamak, it's both a cautionary tale and a valuable lesson in contract law.
And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into this fascinating case. Until next time, stay sharp and keep those contracts airtight.